Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, sheep, wool, and fiber in Iowa. But first, like 2.2 million other American men during the Vietnam War, Jim Hamlin of Waterloo was drafted. He deployed for a year-long tour of duty in 1966, and when he went to war, he took an 8mm movie camera with him. Now, his movies are part of the documentary A Bad Deal, My Vietnam War Story, produced by Mark St. George of WSIU Public Broadcasting. It's being shown on PBS stations around the country. You can also stream it online. And Mark St. George is going to join us in just a few minutes. Jim Hamlin is here with me now. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. And I know you've spent a lot of time in recent months and years talking about your memories of going to Vietnam, but I would love for you to take us back in time before 1966. You grew up in a family full of veterans, right?
That is correct. My father was a veteran of World War II. A couple of my uncles also were of World War II. And I believe my grandfather possibly was a veteran of World War I.
So when Vietnam started and the draft started, did you just assume that you would be on that list?
Actually, I did. I just felt that it was kind of going to be my duty obligation to follow in the footsteps of my father.
Of course, the politics surrounding the Vietnam War are complicated, and we will dig into your thoughts about that a little later on and how those thoughts have evolved over the years. But when you were drafted, what were your thoughts about the war?
Well, like I said, I really felt that it was an obligation that I'd be going off to do a normal tour of duty in Vietnam. I think, like many veterans, you kind of get a mindset that you're going to go over there and get killed. That's kind of the publicity that was going around at the time.
Well, and you talk about that in the documentary. I'd love to play just a moment from this documentary, and it gives us so much insight into your mindset as you were traveling to Vietnam. Let's listen.
The pilot just announced, this is when we were just about ready to go into Vietnam, said we'll be landing in such and such time. And just shortly after he said that, there was a big black explosion, right? I was sitting on the left side that come across the window, and gel come across the window. So an engine apparently malfunctioned or something. You know how you would be in a plane now that if it goes like that and you hear that, everybody'd be terrified. Well, I remember that it just didn't really bother me. And I thought, that's crazy, you know? And I think it's because you have the mindset, you're gonna go there and get killed anyway. So, I mean, that might sound crazy to you, but I remember that pretty vividly. You know, that's kind of how I felt at the time, and I thought that was a little strange. But
did the other men on the plane react in the same way?
You know, I don't recall actually how other people reacted that were on the plane. I just know that I had the window seat, and I saw the black smoke, you know, the bang, and the plane adjusted somewhat, and that gel that came across the window, and it just, for some reason, didn't bother me, and I've yet to this day wondered why.
You took with you, when you were deployed, this 8mm movie camera. What made you take the camera with you?
Well, my father actually gave it to me and told me to go take some film when I had an opportunity over there and send the reels home to them, which I did.
And you hadn't had much experience taking movies before?
No. As a matter of fact, if you watch the entirety of the footage that I took over there, you can see it was pretty rough. I mean, some of the pans were extremely fast, and it was difficult. Some of the shots, you know, I stopped suddenly, et cetera. But I did get a little better, I think, there towards the end.
When you were taking these movies, they were intended just for your family to watch?
Well, what I want, primarily, yes, I think. But what I really wanted to do, I didn't have any grand plan of anything. I wanted to capture the people, the land, and the war. That was kind of what I had as a format when I took it over there. And then when I came back,
I sent the film reels home on a somewhat regular basis to my father, who had them developed. And then when I got back, I, of course, showed the film to my family and friends.
When you were taking these movies, did that seem strange, given the surroundings that you were in? I mean, back then, it's not like everybody was carrying around a cell phone with a camera on it. Were you one of the only people taking pictures?
Yes. There was people that took stills, like with Polaroids, et cetera, but I don't recall any other person that had a actual film camera that they were taking pictures with.
Did that ever cause any trouble? I know the military doesn't always want everybody to see what they're up to.
No. Actually, back when I was there, which I landed in Vietnam in December of 1966, the rules and regulations were really not well planned out at that point as far as things that we could do. And, of course, I wouldn't take it, in a hostile situation right at the moment, but, I mean, I would get it, like, possibly before or afterwards. And as far as I was concerned, it was in a safe environment when I did it.
So you sent these reels back home, and it, as you share in the documentary, I mean, you really didn't expect to survive that year. Did you think about taking these videos and sending them to your family to see after your death?
Well, actually, I did not put those two things together, but I did have a mindset, I think, like most people do, that, you know, you're going to go over there and you'll probably end up getting killed. Fortunately, that didn't happen for me anyway.
So when you got home and you showed these movies to your family, what was that experience like? I mean, you've just come out of a war zone. You've come back to a country that is really being torn apart by controversy over the war, and you're watching these movies with your family. What was that experience like?
Well, it was pretty surreal. I mean, everyone had different thoughts and opinions on the war. Like you said, it was a controversial war, but it was interesting for people to have their own visual of what it was like over there in Vietnam. And I have both just regular moments and as far as some hostile action moments that are involved in the film. So it was interesting, I believe.
After you showed these movies to your family, what happened to the footage then?
Well, I showed it for about the first month when I returned home. I had a few events at my parents' house with friends that I hadn't seen for some time. And we showed them for about a month, I suppose, on and off. And then they kind of went back in the closet, you know, until a later date when I finally ended up taking them out.
Did you think about them over the years?
Not really. When I got into it, I did some editing on some older film that my father had taken of different holidays and Thanksgivings, Christmas, and family gatherings. And so I did a little bit of editing with those, although I wasn't trained on any particular editing programs. I did some editing. And the response from all the people seeing them was really tremendous, in my opinion. I mean, they saw family members that had passed away and stuff. So it was interesting. So that caused me to go ahead and do the same thing with my war film. And what I did was I had it all sent over to Ohio, and I had it digitized so I could do the editing on the computer.
When was that? What year was that?
I'm going to make a guess at this. I think that I probably had it sent over there probably in 2008 or 2010.
So many, many years had passed since you'd seen these movies, and many years had passed since you'd come home from Vietnam. What was it like to see them again?
Well, it was interesting. Actually, when we really put it together, what the deal was, we were getting ready for a 50-year class reunion. I was a West High School graduate of 1965, and I was on the committee with two friends of mine, Barb Hessel and Linda Kane, both of whom live out in Colorado, but they were classmates. And we decided we wanted to do something different than we had done in years past for the school reunion. So what we did was we wanted to recognize and honor our Vietnam friends that were our classmates that were killed in Vietnam. So what we did, we went ahead and put a film or a DVD together with that, and we went out to the surviving family members and had them read one of the last letters that were written back home before they were killed in Vietnam. And that proved to be extremely successful. When we had our reunion, people really had a lot of compliments and positive thoughts about that. I mean, these were guys that were killed that we walked the halls with, and some of the gals actually dated over time.
That also sounds incredibly emotional and heartbreaking.
Yes, it definitely was emotional, and it was very emotional with a number of the people that watched the film. We had that shown at Grout Museum. That's where we had our 50-year class reunion. And in the theater there, we showed the film, and it was very emotional for, I think, practically everyone that watched it.
Now, of course, you were marking your 50th class reunion, but also 50 years, almost 50 years since you were deployed to Vietnam. A lot of people at that moment in time were spending some time really reflecting on the war and on people's experiences with the war. Did that make you think, I should see who else might want to see these movies?
Well, actually, yes. After we put that together for our class reunion, they had us do a couple showings at West High School to a couple thousand people, the students and teachers up there. And then also they had us go around to different locations like Lions Club, Elks Club, Kiwanis groups and stuff. So we showed it throughout the area.
We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to talk more about this footage that Jim Hamlin brought home from his service during the Vietnam War, an 8mm movie camera footage that has now been turned into a documentary. The documentary is A Bad Deal, My Vietnam War Story, produced by Mark St. George of WSIU Public Broadcasting. Mark's going to join the conversation here in a moment as well. The documentary is being shown on PBS stations around the country. You can also stream it online. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk about sheep, wool, and fiber in Iowa. But first, I'm talking with Jim Hamlin. He is a Vietnam War veteran. He grew up in Waterloo. It still lives near Waterloo and was deployed for a year-long tour of duty in December of 1966. When he went to war, he took an 8mm movie camera with him, and now his movies are part of the documentary A Bad Deal, My Vietnam War Story, produced by Mark St. George of WSIU Public Broadcasting. It's being shown on PBS stations around the country, and you can stream it online. Jim Hamlin is with me, and I want to welcome Mark St. George to the conversation as well. Hi, Mark.
Thank you, Charity. The pleasure is entirely mine, and you have my sincerest thanks for that very handsome introduction to our documentary.
Well, Mark, tell me when you first became aware of Jim's footage.
Oh, yes, very good. So I'm sure your listeners are well familiar with Ken Burns. He is a master documentarian filmmaker. He produces his documentaries for public television. New one coming out about country music, very excited for. A couple years back, he produced a wonderfully encompassing documentary about the Vietnam War that really ranged from the start of the war, of the conflict, all the way through to the very end. And we here at WSIU Public Broadcasting in Illinois wanted to do our own Vietnam documentary. So we were interviewing local Vietnam veterans, and the more veterans you speak to, the more you realize each one has a unique story, a personal story, and a story worth hearing and worth listening to and worth telling. And while I was interviewing a lot of the local veterans where I am here in Illinois, one of the VFW commanders asked me if I was familiar with Jim Hamlin. Of course, I said yes. No. Not at this time. And he said, well, he's a Vietnam veteran up in Iowa, and he happened to bring an 8mm camera with him to record his experiences during the Vietnam War conflict. And he might be open to speaking with you about that. And Jim has been nothing except generous with sharing his very personal, very unique story with us, along with his footage. And so with all of TV and film, I tell people it's a little bit of luck and a lot of persistence to get these things going. But we were very fortunate in being able to find Jim, find a veteran who is so well-spoken, who weaves such a brilliant narrative, who paints a picture of the Vietnam War truly uniquely. And in contrast to Ken Burns' documentary, which is more towards the history of the conflict, ours is a very personal story. It's the story of Jim. And it's unique in that way. As you've explained to your listeners earlier, the 8mm footage that Jim recorded has never been shown on television until now. So it's, I tell people, it's kind of like opening a time capsule. You're able to look back and experience, well, not experience, but have an understanding of the experience of our veterans in a unique way.
Let's play another moment from the documentary, which gives people an idea of some of the kinds of stories that you share, Jim, during this documentary. Let's listen to just a moment.
I noticed about a half a mile out there were some Vietnamese or Viet Cong. I didn't know for sure, but they were really paying special attention to us. Anyway, I'm sleeping, and the guy next to me on the right, he was on duty. I heard a thump, and I knew exactly what it was, even though I was sleeping. It was a grenade. It landed, the first one landed right next to my foot. He jumped on top of me, then it blew up, and it really injured him severely, his legs. And all I did is got, this is crazy, but I just got like small hand grenade fragments in my hand. And when they called in illumination, you could still see some enemy activity out there.
Just a moment from the documentary, A Bad Deal, My Vietnam War Story. And Jim, for this documentary, you go back and you talk about so many of your experiences during the year that you spent in Vietnam. What was that like for you to dig deep and re-experience those memories?
Well, to relive some things that I hadn't thought about for 40, 50 years, I was definitely a different situation that I was in. Before I go any further, though, I'd like to say something about Mark. We were so fortunate that he took the raw footage and the interviews and put that together to create a movie. Just was an extraordinary job, I thought. I mean, seriously, we're all very happy and proud of the job he did.
So what was it like to revisit those memories?
Well, it was, again, it was an emotional time, you know, like, for example, when they did the interview with me, the initial interview, when they walked me back, you know, starting out when I first went to Vietnam and the first action that I saw over there, it definitely was emotional. It choked me up, to be honest with you, reliving and rethinking of the situation that I hadn't thought about for many years. And then throughout the course of the video, it brings back a lot of memories, the way they walked me through that with the interviews and then created it all into an actual story.
The grenade episode that we just heard you talking about is just one of several incredibly close calls that you had while you were there. There were so many moments where you could have lost your life. What is it like to think about that?
Well, that's true. I think that I was just a lucky fellow at that time. But one thing I have been trying for a number of years is to locate the guy that actually jumped on top of me that saved me when that grenade landed, because they evacuated him immediately, and I never, ever did see him again. So his name is Robert Gardner, and he lived up in northern Minnesota at one time. I'm not sure about now.
So you were never able to get back in touch with him. Do you think a lot about the men that you served with?
Yes. I actually, since this year has been going on now, this documentary, I've been accessing my 196 Light Infantry Brigade unit online website and chatting with some people.
One of the things that you talk about in the documentary, Jim, is learning about the protests that were going on back in the United States. Your mom had sent you a newspaper, and there were newspaper articles about massive protesting going on in the United States. What was your response then when you were in Vietnam and you learned about those protests?
Well, my response then is totally different than now. But what the situation was, she'd send me a newspaper over every so often. And I read the paper and I saw where there was 500,000 protesters out in the New York area. And I wrote back to her that I couldn't believe there were that many crazy people in the whole country, let alone in one particular small area. And so, we were brainwashed totally when we first went into the service. Everyone was told that it was due to the fact that they wanted to stop communism from the effects of the domino theory, where it would spread from country to country. And then later on in there, people started talking about, well, maybe it was a geopolitical thing where you wanted to have a footprint right next to China. And then thirdly, at the end there, we heard that it was due to the oil deposits off the South China Sea. And then after I got out of the service and started thinking about it more, learning more about the actual facts, I thought, you know, that maybe I was wrong on my initial thought of being totally supportive of the war.
When you came home, how did you feel about the protests? Because I know that so many Vietnam veterans, when they came home, did not feel welcomed home, did not feel like people appreciated their service, and felt like the protesters were protesting them, not the war.
Yes, I mean, that was real common throughout the country at that time. Fortunately for where I lived at in the Waterloo area, it really wasn't that bad. Maybe one or two occurrences of anything that was derogatory at all. Although I do recall when we just flew back from Vietnam and landed in Minneapolis, and then we had a flight to come to Waterloo, the last leg of our flight to return home. We were all scheduled to get on at a certain time, and just before we were to board the plane, we were notified that we were being bumped, that a number of college kids were bumping us off there, because the service, at least at that time, they were being held to get on a plane and only when seats were available.
How did that feel?
Well, that was, it really wasn't that bad, but it was disappointing, obviously. And like I said, I didn't have many occurrences like some people did. I mean, I think maybe a car drove by at one time or something and yelled some things, but it really wasn't that bad of a deal.
I'm talking with Jim Hamlin. His footage that he took when he was serving in Vietnam, 1966 and 1967, has become part of the new documentary, A Bad Deal, My Vietnam War Story, produced by Mark St. George of WSIU Public Broadcasting. And I want to share another moment from this documentary. And this is Jim sharing some of his observations of the local people that he encountered.
People over there who you have to sympathize with what they went through. I mean, the kids and, I mean, even the parents. I mean, I recall I had my ankle busted over there. After I was back from the hospital, I still had a cast on, and I was in charge of having these Vietnamese fill sandbags and do miscellaneous work around there. And I remember vividly thinking, this could be my father. And here's a guy in a war-torn country that's out here working for like 100 piastres or something a day, a dollar a day or something, you know. I mean, their health is terrible, you know, and it just, it really made you think about the people over there, so.
Jim, was that something that you thought about while you were in service, or is that something that came to you later?
No, actually, I thought about it while I was over there. I started thinking more about it, but you know, like, for example, I didn't know the statistics, but I later found out that, like, there were around 2 to 3 million people that were killed in Vietnam that were just regular Vietnamese people as a result of collateral damage. And there were thousands and thousands, I don't know, 250,000, 300,000 Viet Cong that were killed. And, of course, not to underscore the 58,200-plus of ours that were killed in action and the great number that have died since then as a result of the Agent Orange effect.
You also talk about in the film how you interacted with local people, and you could get your hair cut by someone by day, and then by night that person may be part of the Viet Cong, the people who you were fighting.
That's correct. It wasn't a common everyday type of thing, but you did hear stories about it throughout, that like the fellow that they killed in an ambush patrol at night was the fellow that was cutting their hair during the day. So,
what do you want people to learn from seeing this footage that you took?
Well, I think, again, like I didn't have any grand plan as far as what footage I was taking for what purpose, but in addition to the war, which was an important part of the whole thing, just to see what the country was like and what the people were like over there. And fortunately for me, my wife, Barb, she was able to support me and help me out through putting all this stuff here together, which happened over a period of a couple of years.
Mark, in producing this film, in interviewing Jim, and spending so much time with this footage, is there something that really stands out to you, something that opened your eyes in a new way?
Charity, absolutely. I've always wanted to make a documentary about the Vietnam War, my father being himself a Vietnam veteran, disabled in combat. Although at PBS and NPR, for your public broadcasting stations, we try to be as objective as possible, so I knew I could never make a documentary about my own father and not be subjective. One thing that Jim has really taught me is the emotions connected with the entire involvement, not only being drafted, not only the tour of duty, but the memories, coming home, still dealing with it to this day, as many veterans do. It impacts my own family. So I think the biggest takeaway from this documentary is that the experiences of the veterans are just so important, and each veteran to this day has a unique story. And if you ever have an opportunity to ask a veteran about their experiences, I couldn't recommend it more, because you will learn.
Jim, I know you've spent a lot of time with other veterans talking with them about their experiences. As we passed that 50th anniversary and really spent a lot of time looking at the Vietnam War as a country, reflecting, do you feel like there's been a change in how Vietnam veterans feel about their service? Jim?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Do you feel like there's been a change in how veterans feel about their service as we've had Ken Burns' documentary and this period of reflection on the war?
Yes, yes. I mean, they're well-received by just the general public now. Where, like I said, during the Vietnam era, you know, it was different. But today, everyone seems to be respected and everybody appreciates the veterans.
You also received a bronze star for valor in combat when you returned from Vietnam.
Excuse my coughing.
Oh, that's all right. How has your feeling about your service changed over the years?
Well, I'm proud of what I did. You know, again, I kind of carried on the tradition that my father and uncles and grandfather did.
Mark, what's next for this documentary?
Well, right now, Charity, American Public Television, also known as APT, is our official distribution company. We have marketed it, and it is being aired nationally. Right now, our markets cover about 200 million people. It'll be airing, depending on your state and depending on your market, at a upcoming time and date, depending on the scheduling, over the next 4 years. So keep tuning in to your local PBS station. You will eventually see it. And it is really, we're getting a lot of wonderful feedback, not only from our audience who are learning so much from this documentary and from Jim's brave example and his story, but we're also hearing from veterans who are so very, very touched that Jim is yet again displaying the bravery and courage that he displayed during his his time of service over there, he's displaying it again now by sharing this story. And it's remarkable. It really is.
Are you hearing, are you getting a lot of messages from veterans who are encountering this, Mark?
We are. Vietnam veterans, from interviewing them over the years, it's very difficult for many of them. As you rightfully said, Charity, they had mixed experiences when they returned from the war. Some were spat upon, some were yelled at. And when you talk to them, as Jim says, the emotions kind of rise to the surface again. They've been buried for so long. And it's just so very, very deep and touching to hear them and know that they've been moved by this documentary.
Mark St. George, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charity.
And Jim Hamlin, thank you for sharing your story with us and in this documentary.
Thank you.
Jim Hamlin, he is the focus of the documentary, A Bad Deal, My Vietnam War Story. When he was deployed in 1966, he took an 8mm movie camera with him, and now people all over the country and the world can see those movies in this documentary produced by Mark St. George of WSIU Public Broadcasting.